Mexico's work, she did a series, a triptych, so they're not in order here for some weird reason. But she kind of used the idea of the television screen, and she used three different, Cesar Chavez, Mother Teresa, I think my background was in the wrong direction. Wait a second. So anyway, that was her modern day saints, icons. This is just an early 1972 Osco image, and I was interested in it because of Pat Zabudzka Beeping. This is part of Irena Cervantes' triptych series. Part of what she was thinking about was the development of perspective in the Renaissance era versus the circular perspective idea in traditional Native cultures, where every perspective counts. I'm going backwards. This is from in the 1800s, at the top left corner, an image of three supposed Indians, savage, semi-civilized, and more civilized. And then you see the Darwinian, you know, the half man, half ape kind of figure that's sort of pouncing throughout this image. There's a lot going on here, but the question of perspective. Tu perspectiva no es la mía, she writes on the triptych. So the question, even how visual conventions like perspective, right, are shaped in different cultures, and they make a big difference how you are even visually allowing yourself to look. This is one of the silk screens that Estela Morales did. It's called Madre, Mis Madres. So that's the earth, and then the indígena looking out there. Here is another Estela Hernández. This is Cosmic Cruise. And it remembers how her mother was one of the first women to drive in their agricultural camp. This is something Estela Hernández did too when she started to work on installation, translucent dress that remembers the history of her grandmother coming across the desert from Mexico with Esther's mother. And it raises all kinds of things for me, like, you know, issues of gender and women's histories of autonomy. Diane Gamboa modeling one of her own paper fashions. She is also, by the way, modeling her own designs there for tattoos, sacred hearts. One of the things that's so cool about Diane's paper fashion, she draws, she does installation painting, but the paper fashion idea, which many of the Chicano artists share, especially she and Patsy went on to work with it a lot, is really kind of interesting because it raises this whole question of, you know, who defines what high fashion is, in what way is art, high art fashion, in what way are women eye candy? I mean, that piece is called Butterscotch Twist. You know, so there's all these questions that come up, and it's stuff that, you know, is made pretty inexpensively. This is another Diane Gamboa drawing. This is also Diane Gamboa. This is called Madonna Whore Complex. This is one of the, Irena Cervantes' self-portraits, Big Baby Balam. Balam means jaguar in Mayan. See the image of the creative destroyer goddess and that beautiful vanity table, you know, very Hollywood glamour. Amalia Mesa Baines, you know, is that earlier generation Chicana artist who's also influenced by feminist art, like femage, you know, like reclaiming women's spaces. She does a lot of work thinking about the way in which in these women's spaces, subversive things could happen too, like in the harem. And so this is a part of her Venus Envy. Get it? Venus Envy, Venus Envy installation. This is the second Venus Envy, and this is Sofuana's desk. It was also where, on another side of the room, she had the harem. Sofuana was a woman-loving woman who ended up becoming, she was also illegitimate, so she ended up in a convent where she did great work. This is the other, you know, icon, Modern Day Saints by Barbara Carrasco. That's Princess Diana, because she did, as you probably know, towards the end of her life, she's doing a lot of work with the children in Africa. This is Cristina Fernandez, who works in photography. These are some of the images, especially because they're reverse negatives, that struck me as being really about ghostliness. And this one in particular was one of those that really got me thinking about, you know, what it means to be ghostly in the social landscape. This is the cover of the book. This is Delilah Montoya's Teyolia, which means divinized heart in Nahuatl. And this is really cool. It's her Sagrado Corazon series. And as a photographer, she's really concerned with the imperialist history of photography. And so she wanted to let the sitters participate in her New Mexico Chicano Hispanic community in creating the set. So she did like this beautiful loving portrait of, you know, the Mexicano community there. They don't have a Sacred Heart from both Christian and Indigenous perspectives. This is like a 15-foot photo mural and altar. And that is a single or imprisoned man with an image of Guadalupe on his back. The piece is called La Guadalupana. Kathy Vargas here, this is one of the pieces. I forget exactly what the name of this one is, but it's part of, you know, it was when I was talking about memory. If you look in this image, you know, there's all this layering here and this beautiful poetic attempt to capture the all of the layers of memory within our heart. This is part of a performance piece and installation by Celia Herrera Rodriguez, who's also a painter. And this piece was a photographic triptych in the back while she was performing live. This is before Colon, during Colon, Cortez, and after Cortez. What was really striking to me when I saw this is that all three were on their knees, right? And so what does that say about gender dynamic is a question it raised for me. And she herself was on her knees during the performance, which was a kind of a, it was what part Indian am I? So she had like this tarot deck where she asked participants, you know, when I show you this image of my arm, my back, what does it make you think of? And so it kind of seemed like it was a spiritual channeling, but they were very political readings, very historical readings about the history of women, about the history of the indigenous. And often what she had to do was to like blow the stereotypes of the audience members who wanted to you know, they wanted to have these like stories about, you know, victimhood actually, and about what they thought was the indigenous. And she was trying to dislodge some of that and have them think a little bit beyond the stories we've been told. This is part of the weaving work of Consuelo Jimenez Underwood, who, and this is one of her conchas, and there's Santa Muerte in the middle. Consuelo Jimenez Underwood has really been working to combine, to create a hybrid genre of weaving. This is hers also, weaving and painting, because as she explained, weaving is the high art of the Lichon, painting has been the high art of the West. So she's trying to create hybrid visual languages. This was, over here was a series in which she created weavings. The fibers are all, so she has five weavings. They all tell the history of the expansion of the United States as it encroached upon other territories in the Americas. This is Ana Lopez's Juan Soldado. This is Sirena and Lupe using the popular Boteria image. This is the work of Celia Alvarez Munoz, who is a photographer and a book artist. She works with the book form and has explored it in amazing ways. And with this, she did on the Juarez Murders. It was the first thing I saw on the Juarez Murders, Fibra y Furia, fiber and fashion. So some of these images, like this is this ridiculous prom dress with a rose on the crotch. And in that, in this series, she interrogated the complicity of the fashion industry and of like these sexist standards for women as like little nothings. And the relationship to crime. So she also had this whole setting, this piece of, in this beautiful installation, a sand lot with all these old shoes. You know, this is what was left of a lot of these abducted, tortured women. This is the work of Laura Alvarez, who's also a musician. And she's been working with this undercover Sirvienta series. And in it, she imagines this like super heroine who is a sirvienta girl who's come over from Mexico, but who's really a secret agent spy, spying on, you know, the masters and reporting through her cleaning equipment back to headquarters. This is Patricia Rodriguez's Cajas. Patricia Rodriguez is a well-known muralist, one of the groundbreaking Chicana feminists who started Mujeres Muralistas with other women. And but this is also some of her little work, her little cajitas. And they're kind of like little reliquaries, you know, little altarcitos. And this is about Texas, her homeland forever. Juana Vicia is well known for her murals, so I was pretty fascinated. Now, I was fascinated how in her murals, but also in this drawing, how she works with energy. Look at the flow of energy coming from the hand. In her large murals, she's very unique in that way. The only other person that I've seen her work like that, who works with trying to represent lines of energy, is actually Patsy Valdez. This is Celia Alvarez Munoz again, the one who did the dresses with the bolts of fabric. This is part of her caja, part of a book art. So this is a kind of a book. And the, you know, you can't really see what it's about, but it has to do with like growing up bilingual in Texas. She participated in LA in a project called The Power of Place that was about like these empty buildings. Well, this empty building in LA was a place where there were Latina labor activists, and it was full of all these empowered women, and these were workers. Look at them. They were well groomed, they were this, they had a cultural life, a music hall. And like, you know, that history is erased. And so it was part of this work of geographers and historians of wanting to tell a people's history by going to the abandoned buildings and saying, hey, what does that building tell us about what it used to be like before printed histories? So she created that little book. This is a book too. And this is Delilah Montoya's book. It's a codex. She did it against the 500th anniversary of the Invasion of the Americas. It's you're only seeing one page there, but it's big and beautiful. And it's told through the history of women, the oral stories. She told me, you know, history is always the story of men. And it's the story of conquerors. But history survives in our myths, like La Llorona, you know, La Socadera. And so she told the story of a little girl and her travels across 500 years to bring the medicine of the native peoples of the South to the people of the native peoples of the North. This is a little art book that Irena made, modeled. I don't know if some of you ever saw these kinds of little school books. I used to get these too. And she produced this when she was at UCLA in the graduate art program. And it reminded her, from what she's told me, of her experience as a child going to a new neighborhood and experiencing a new school racism there. And so she wrote about that in this little book. And I found that fascinating because a visual artist, you know, going to the written book or without images as a way then of also criticizing the racism and sexism of her art school experience at UCLA. This is a t-shirt that Isis Rodriguez created. She said she was starved to see empowering images for little girls. So she created the Little Miss Attitude series. Mm-hmm. She's very influenced by anime. Check this image out. There's all the cartoon characters. It really made her think about how pornography and the history of pornography is related to, you know, in common culture. Even children are being, like, educated, you know, to look at images of women that are demeaning or that are disempowering. She's doing really interesting work on empowerment and the sex industry. I think she's really breaking new ground thinking about it. But this is really kind of a, you know, an exposure of innocent popular culture in the land of cartoons. Here's a comic book, Jaguar Woman by Laura Molina, who on her website describes herself as the angriest woman in the world. You should check out her website. You know, she has this thing called Angry Dave, where she hounds the activities of her ex-boyfriend. And, you know, he has people writing in saying, why don't you stop writing about Dave? But she, like, is, like, out to totally expose Dave. So this is really cool because this was a reaction to the racism Prop 187 and all of that. And in it, she beats up two neo-Nazis and warns them that they're lucky she doesn't eat them like her ancestors. Here's Irene Perez's, you know, Coyle Shapley, one of the goddesses of the Nahuatl and the Xica Aztec pantheon, was in the myth. She was cut and torn apart and thrown into the moon by her warrior brother. Irene Perez has put her together. She's actually on the women's building in a giganto, like two-story image in San Francisco. Alma Lopez's, here is Alma, here's Esther Hernandez's Libertad, which she did when she was an undergraduate at Cal in Berkeley, in art practice. This was her defendiendo los derechos de los chicanos. Here's also a historic image from the 70s. Yolanda Lopez's explorations on Virgen de Guadalupe as the artist, as her mother, her grandmother. So like borrowing the visual language of the sacred to have us rethink what gets to count as sacred, the everyday woman, the working class woman, the indigenous woman. And this piece is really cool to me. It's a collage that she also did where she superimposes Botticelli's Venus, which is a really important piece in Western art. But what it's doing is it's about beauty. And the beauty is gender. And notice how though she's nude and the Virgen de Guadalupe and Mary are totally clothed, they're both about like representing visually and reproducing models of ideal womanhood. And in both cases, they're tame, either totally dressed or naked. So to me, it raised a lot of questions. Plus, this is obviously about two different art histories. The visual art history, you know, of Mexico with its indigenous mixed, you know, Virgen and the West. So her video, her Guadalupe series was really big and very experimental. Esther Hernandez working with a Goyal Shafi moon image in the background, done during the Central America intervention period. This is also one of the earliest Guadalupe images by Irena Cervantes, who will be signing autographs after the class. And here she paints Frida naked. No, but here you see Frida as Virgen de Guadalupe. And it's also, have any of you see the two Fridas? You know, the two Fridas, well, the second Frida here is Nena. See her in the little mirror? Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool. So, you know, as you know, Chicanas and Chicanos were some of the first people to unearth Frida Kahlo, who was described even in Mexican art history as the fascinating wife of Diego Rivera. This is Danza Oceloto, Oceloto being Jaguar again, one of the interesting self-portraits that I was telling you about, of her work that I like. Delilah Montoya's, look at the hybridity of things. Santa Barraza's, thank you, image, one of her many images of the Sacred Heart, you know, virgins. The notion of the Sacred Heart that she's been working with is the divinized heart of the Aztecs, as well as the Sacred Heart. She's also working with the goddesses, in this case, the mandorla, or the sacred rays. It's going to come back. I think I'll click the implications. The sacred rays here are part of the Maguey, and that calls to mind the goddess of fertility in Mexica culture, who is Maya Reyes. And so, you know, the Chicana artists really also tried to have us think about, you know, the goddess nature of Guadalupe, not just the handmaiden of the Lord, but a powerful deity. Maya Gonzalez's work, you know, very different than Frida's two, the two Fridas. This is My Little Wound by Celia Herrera Rodriguez, and then this is back to, so this was a performance at Oscar, and that was one of the earliest 1972 Black Madonnas, you know, punkish Madonna. So that was the image. So I think those are the complete images in the book, and it was pretty fast. But that is, well, it's just the attempt. That's pretty